And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land and all fountains of water and to all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou that, my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. Verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab met Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy fathers have, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel on the Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the grove 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, Not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. All the people answered and said, It is well spoken. I will preach tonight for a while, if God will help me, on will it ever rain again. I'm sorry and sick tonight because of the mess that Christendom is in. But we've gone nothing but down, down, down spiritually. We've set up all kinds of programs, and it's not working. I wonder if revival's really gone. I wonder if it's possible to really have revival again. I think in this scripture that I read in your hearing is the formula. And if we want revival, there's a formula we must follow. I've been in several revivals, not talking about meetings. I'm talking about revivals. I've questioned the men that pastored the churches where the revivals broke out. Many of those men did not know revival was coming. And that revival's a strange thing. I've talked to you men tonight, no doubt you'll tell me how we can have revival. Yet most of us do not have it in our church. And when it comes, it's like a sudden flood that comes, and folks look like are not expecting real old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. Now, we're laying aside now what you've said about how to have revival. I'm going to give you tonight some points that God's given me on how to have revival again. I heard not long ago, happened many years ago, of course, at Bob Jones University. They had a Founders Day service, and the old man, Bob Jones Sr., was there. And they wanted him to say something that day. And he really didn't. He is at that age where that he is on for a while and off for a while. And one Sunday, everything would be clear, and then he'd kind of forget, and you lose track. But they told him they wanted him to talk. And all the crowd was gathered. And they knew probably it'd be the last time some of them would see the old man. So time came for him to speak. And the boys, some of the men of the church and university, kind of told him, said, "Now's the time, Dad." And he said, "What do you want me to do?" And they said, "We want you to talk to the congregation about Bob Jones and your life and how it's been." And they let him help to get him up to the pulpit, and somebody put his hands on here. And he looked around and suddenly realized he is standing in his place. And he said, "Well, here I am standing behind the pulpit." And he said, "I don't really know what they want me to say, so I don't really know what to say." But he looked over here at this side, had three rows of pews, they said, just like there are here. And he said, "Over here," said, "I'll tell you what a good thing is to always say." He said, "When I was a little 12-year-old boy, sitting in a congregation of God's people, singing and praying, and God's man stood, and he'd been out yonder by himself alone with God, and he preached, and the Holy Ghost picked me out of the congregation and sent the message to me, and God convicted me, and I came to an altar and prayed through, and God saved my soul. So I want you to know that I'm saved tonight." And he kind of lost track, and he said, "Well, the boys want me to say something." And he said, "I don't never really know what to say at times like this, but," he said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "I'll tell you one thing I can always tell you. When I was a little 12-year-old boy, I was sitting in a congregation. The old man of God had a burden on his soul to preach the gospel, and he preached to my heart. And the Holy Ghost knew as a little old 12-year-old boy that it'd make a stand for God, and he drew me and saved me. And by his marvelous grace, I'm in the family of God." He kind of lost track again. He said, "I don't know what to tell y'all today. But," he said, "there's one thing I can always tell you about, like the Apostle Paul." He said, "I won't tell you. There's one time when I was a little 12-year-old boy." And he said, "I know y'all don't know nothing about it, but I sure remember how the Holy Spirit came to where I was, knew I needed saving, fixing to go to hell, and God had mercy on me and brought me to himself and held me to his breast and saved me and delivered me." So that's about all I know to say. And the boys kind of got a hold of him and said, "That's good, Dad. That's good preaching." And started to lead him off. And he said, "Sometimes when y'all all together again, I want to come back and tell you about how it was when I was a little 12-year-old boy. And God saved me." I want to say to you men here tonight, if we ever get back to old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival, somebody's going to have to get a love for souls. We're going to have some preachers that fall out with the ways of the world and fall in love with God and the gospel and preach it again, to forget about what other men have said and what they've done, and get alone somewhere with the Holy God that called us and asked him to revive our group and spirit and gift us again to preach, that lost men and women will get under conviction and come weeping, that saved folks will get a hunger for an old-time Holy Ghost feeling down in their soul. I told God the other night, I'm getting that old lonesome feeling. When God ain't around, I get that old lonesome feeling. I want to tell you, say, "Well, preacher, you're in a crowd about every week." Some of the largest crowds I've been in, a preacher, I get lonesome for God. Did you hear what the preacher says? "Boys, we need to throw a lot of stuff that we're following today and kick it over into hell and get a hold of God again and preach and tell the story that Jesus saved." I was in Mississippi. Was at the last service. I believe we had already had the service. And I was going to my motel room. There's a feeding in the chow hall at the church. And I was sitting there just eating a little and then going to run to the motel and sleep a while and get up and drive. And four or five young men came and said, "Preacher, can we sit down?" I said, "Sure." I said, "We're going to ask you some questions." And I said, all right, boys, if you'll just tell me what you want, I've got to go. And they said, we're all called to preach, and we won't know what's the best thing for us to do in order to be a real spiritual preacher and be God's man. And I said, well, y'all tell me how you got it figured. I said, I sure ain't got the formula for everything, but I think I know what y'all need to do. Maybe I haven't followed as close as I ought to. And I said, I think I know what you need to do. One of them said, well, I'm going to school and get me a good education. I believe that's good for me to do, get a Bible education. And the next one said, well, he said, I'm gifted to sing. And I think that if I follow that and be a singer, that God will help me and use that in my leading the congregation. And another fellow said, my dad is a politician. He's taught me how to get along with folk. And he said, I can get along with folk and know how to manipulate folk. And I believe that'd be the thing for me to push and follow. Another young man said, young people's my thing. He said, I can just go and stand the young people flock around me and want to talk to me. And I said, boys, I'm going to tell you why. Oh, that's all right, I guess. And I said, what you better do for a while is to forget all about that. I told you the other night, I said, take this old King James Bible and go to the woods and pray that God preaches you. I mean, you come out of the woods a preacher, not caring whether who likes you and who don't like you. I care whether any of you can sing or anybody else can sing. I pray that God will make a preacher out of you, regardless of the cost. Are you hearing the old preacher tonight? I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you ought to pray for your preacher. I want to tell you, you ought to pray to God. I get a hold of him, I call him by himself, and give him a message that'll stir the church and save your youngins. It's almost too late. While we got time, folks, we better pray that God will send revival.
Amen.
God send revival, he'll send it through praying and preaching. God will not never send revival through singing. He'll send it through praying and preaching. Boy, wasn't that good singing tonight? I thought, Lord God, that choir stirred my heart every night. And boys, you fellas that travel, you know it ain't that way everywhere you go. You can just kind of tell when folks know what they're singing about. I thought that family, they have that genetic harmony. Boys, that's wonderful. I'm going to tell you, if the choir practiced just right, they've also got family harmony. And you can't beat that kind of thing. Now, here's the drought home. Here's old Elijah. I've been over yonder with the widow. And blessed God is a blessing. And then God was taking care of him. By the way, I found out that the widow over there in Zarephath is probably where old Jezebel is from. He's living in her hometown. And them hunting for him, wanting to kill him. Ain't that just like God? I'd have had his man, a boys right down the midst of the hellish out pit, and a blessing him, boys, while the world's a running on. And old Elijah said, I'll tell you, boys, what I want you to do. Oh, well, the guy got to hunt him, and the king got to hunt him. But there's hunting water for the horses. And they've been hunting, and I didn't say anything about hunting water for the young'uns. There's hunting water for the mules and the horses. We take better care of our pets today than we do the missionaries on the farm field. Say amen that time. And that's preaching to me. I'm a rabbit hunter. I take care of my does. I mean, I was talking to the old brother this afternoon. I was trying to instruct him in better ways how to keep the worms out of his dogs and to keep everything just right. If I ain't careful, I'll have my man go mad. And this missionary here crying for souls. Boys, we got everything else on our mind but lost humanity that's going to hell. When are we ever going to get back? Boys, when we have a prayer circle, when are we ever going to get back? Now, I realize cancer is prevalent and prominent in our day. I know you got loved ones since I've died. But boys in the prayer circles of old, you never heard much about sickness. We hear today about ingrown toenails and eyes crossed and hair falling out. And boys, where did the hunger for souls go to? Why in the world in the prayer circle? Boys, as the voices crying out, saying my daughters are going to hell and my son and my kindred are dying and going to hell. Under God, we better do something. All we can, hell's a burden. Our times are falling off in the hand. I promised myself I wouldn't preach as long tonight. How unusual, preaching unusual long. And I don't do that. I don't aim to do it. But if God's using me, I'm going to preach. And you get tired, you can get your car out, you go home. I won't talk about you until you get off the ground. But I'm going to do everything I can. I'll preach what God wants me to preach. And I promise you, I'll quit this as quick as I can. I'm give out. And these preachers, that preacher knows that. But God help us to get in the spirit that God wants us to get in. And all over time, Boys, he'd have been hiding and feeding some preachers. I haven't made up my mind much about him yet. But I'm going to tell you what, old Elijah had a man of God down there that wasn't afraid of the king. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, before you have any meetings, we got to have some preachers that's not afraid of the government. Amen. I'm sick in my time. Every time a preacher gets a little prominent, they want to run to the White House. God help us, now, if they get very prominent, they'll be over down in Rome. Uh-huh. Am I talking right or not? I want to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, if your pastor wants to go to the White House and ain't aiming to preach, don't give him no money. Amen. You know what I'm saying? If he's just going up there out among the group, you know, to kind of have breakfast with the president, you ought to give him no money. You ought to tell him you'll pay his way down yonder somewhere in the holler, in the spring holler. Let him stay down there 3 or 4 days and get in the great house of God and see what the real king roasts down. Amen. Hallelujah. God's the deal in my heart, and I want to preach. God, help me to preach. God, touch me. I'd have somebody here tonight. I'm afraid it's too late, I know. I'm a preaching to folk you've got worldly-minded. Of the things that God's got off your mind. Too many of us preachers and lay members have got new houses and new cars and more lands on our mind. The lost people are going off into hell, and we're afraid to give up a dime. How to send the word of God out of them that's lost in it. I think I know through prayer that visiting Clinton ain't going to save our nation. Amen. And you say you ought to pray for your president. I am. Friend, then go back to Arkansas. Get under a law where it belongs. And I do. And then God knows in my heart I'm a-praying that God somewhere will get through to his soul and awaken him to truth and right. God help us tonight to remember we've got an obligation. If Washington, I'm going to tell you what, I'm just being honest with you tonight out of my heart. We got all kinds of little signed petitions and send them to Congress. Signed petitions and send them to Congress. Some of us ought to put up a petition to God. I mean, really, get together and petition God. Boys, that petition ain't going to do much changing. But boy, when we bombard heaven with our prayers, it'll get some things done that them petitions will never get done. It's some folks ain't afraid of the king. Some of you folks afraid of the courthouse. They said, tell you not to come out here tomorrow night. There'll be a whole lot of you. Stay at home. God help you. Boys, somebody said it a long time before I ever thought about it. One of the things wrong today, nobody wants to kill us or put us in jail. Ain't that right? Boys, if we was living whole and separated, Dr. Orwell said every preacher ought to be in jail one time. Hey, man, I believe it's right. Hey, man, I believe if we'd get right and do right, I'd stir up enough dust and enough stink for heaven's sake. Boys, they'd come and get us. Amen. I believe we ought to call it like it is. There's a whole lot of our preaching and our living ought to suit somebody else. We ought to be trying to suit God. Another thing, old Elijah, when he met Obadiah down there and then met King Ahab. Boys, the preacher's the person got accused. Now, I'm from Kentucky. And every preacher, when he gets called to preach, ought to have to spend 2 years in Kentucky. That ought to be prerequisite. Amen. That's right, Brother Ronnie. I know that's cruel, but that's right. And Brother Ronnie knows how cruel that is, but it's right. I'm going to tell you, you get up there, and boy, we're clannish. And if you don't talk just like I talk, I told you the other night about the canned biscuits. They won't let you preach if your wife makes canned biscuits. That's not everywhere. But there's a whole lot of places that way. And they're clannish. And they think every man of God ought to work at a job. They don't like me because I quit my job and went full time for God. Said he's lazy. He won't make a living for his own family. I wouldn't trust him in the pulpit. The Bible said a man won't take care of his own family. It's worse than an infidel. We don't want no infidel to preach. And so they wouldn't have me. None to God. We got a mess out across our country. Boys, we need some men that'll put the blame where it is. Did you know us preachers and you lay members too? And I know in this meeting I've talked a lot to preachers. And somebody graciously reminded me tonight, I'm preaching a lot to the preachers, not saying much for the lay members. But if I get the preachers right, if God the Holy Ghost will put the preachers right, the lay members will fall in line. Amen. If God's men will begin to preach and not be afraid and flat and scared of the hierarchy and the headquarters in this world and flat out preach the word of God as they did in the days of old, I believe revival will hit again. And they'll tell the king exactly what it is. I want to hear, I'll see you where these preachers have talked to the Pope and talked to the President. And I heard one of them preach to him. Great God, it looks like the Holy Ghost will throw some of them up and say, I got to preach. I don't say this about missionaries. I I heard of one in Virginia. I don't know whether he's from Virginia or not. And I know you can't do this, but I like the spirit of it anyhow. He come in one morning and said God had sent him, I believe he said, to Brazil. And he said, I'll be leaving now as soon as they get my clothes packed. And he didn't know you're supposed to preach around and get support. He thought when God called him to the field, he was supposed to go. Somebody reported him a few days later. He was over there on the coast out running up and down on the sand, flagging ships down. Said, surely one of them will pull in and see me, and they'll be headed for Brazil. Amen. I like that kind of spirit. We've got to the place, boys, where we got to pin on this board and that board. And if they okay it, okay. And if we're doing this exactly and dancing to the beat of their drum, we can go. And if not, we can't go. Whatever happened to God's free men, boys, that'll just believe and trust God and go and not hinder, brother. There are gates around them that preach the word of God as the Holy Ghost leads. God hit me. Boy, this hot, and I'm tired. I'm going to take my time. I don't preach everything. God would have me to, and I promise you I'll quit. I won't run, try to not run no rabbit tracks. I'll preach just as straight as I can. And here now is Obadiah, and here's Elijah, and here's the king. And he said, I'll tell you what you do, king. That's an amazing thing that the king, when the man of God said, king, come here, that he come here. That's the way it ought to be now. Don't believe that? You say, preacher, I never heard such a thing. It's right anyhow. That's God's order. That's exactly how it ought to be. I kind of believe in a theocracy anyhow. Amen. A God rule. I mean, where God's the ruling thing. We think a democracy is so great. We ought to try a theocracy one time and see how that rules. Most places, it don't even rule in the Baptist church, let alone in America. God help me to preach tonight. Oh, Lord, help us to see. He said, he pointed his finger and said, preacher, are you the one that's troubling Israel? I don't believe Elijah even dropped his head, never got a hard swallow. He just looked right back at the king and said, no, I ain't. It's not me, it's you. And it's your old daddy and your family. That's because this whole lot of preachers ain't got guts enough to do that in the church. I point their finger in a member's face and say, it ain't me, it's you and your family. That's tried to run this church for 25 years, and you're out of the will of God. And what you need to do is get right. Oh, Elijah said, I know the next step. After we've got a hold of a man that ain't afraid of nobody, is to get the people on the mountain. Amen. Now, I want you to listen to me. I ain't in here to knock nobody. Nobody's organization. I'm just about against any kind of hierarchy and organization. And whether it's independent or whether it's centered. But if they got control over the local man of God's wrong. Amen. You hearing me? That's what I say. Now I'm going to tell you all what, and I'll try to get both sides. I'll try to knock two or three sides and hit the Pentecostal so everybody, you don't know, not just think I'm a picking on you. But I'm an independent. I don't jump up and down and holler all over the country and all this kind of stuff. And I carry on revival meetings in Southern Baptist churches, found a great power of God in a lot of Southern Baptist churches, and I mean that. You say, preacher, I don't like that. I ain't preaching for your life. I'm telling you where God is and what he's doing for me. And boys, I'll tell you what, in the independent movement, boys, if our church is not 10,000 or 15 or 20,000 in debt, we think we're not in the will of God. And if we're able to carry on 10 missionaries, we'll take 15 and keep our feet on the necks of our people all the time until they can't worship for worrying about how they're going to pay their debt. Now, boys, I understand about all the things in the church and how we need to take care of missionaries and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you, after a while, you can get so hot after your people for money, they'll get their mind off of the holy things of God. Amen. Now, I want to say this again to you before you get too hot and quit listening to me. We want what our fathers had, but we want to do what our fathers did. Amen and amen. We don't want to pay the price they paid and follow the path that they followed. We'll forget about it and say we want what they had. But, boys, when we go back to doing like they've done, we don't want any part of that. But I'm going to tell you what I'm willing to fight on my heart. I'm going to pay the price to get the old path. Amen to heavenly path. Amen. They got the people on the mountain. I wonder if your people's on the mountain, if you got them pushed down. A lot of people in the church is pushed down, but when they get to church, they act like they're on the mountain. Amen. And they're under bondage. But they, now don't misunderstand me. If you think I'm preaching that the preacher oughtn't preach on riches and short hair, you get you another thought of coming. I want to tell you again, we ain't suffering in this country because people preach too rough on sin. We're suffering because men won't preach on sin. Amen. And can kill it and condemn it. Amen. Everywhere we go. I want to tell you what, we need to get the people on the mountain. And boys, you'll never be able to tell who's who. You cannot tell who the wolves are when all you've got jokes in the church. You might as well say amen like that. If God hit me, not to make everybody mad, but I'm going to preach everything against me. If all you've got in your church praise God, is some kind of a supper in the mess hall. And all you've got some kind of slideshow and movies. And all you've got is a puppet show. God help your purified heart. We need somebody in control in our church. That's not a King James Bible. Let's go out. Hallelujah to God. And that wants to preach God's word of the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. I was down yonder in the woods praying. I was crying behind the old log. And God, I said, God, I'm not a feeling like I felt 6 months or so ago. And a lot of you preachers ain't either. You lost something. Some of them don't even know where you lost it. And some of you don't know how to get it back. And I'm going to tell you what's right. I'm going to tell you what you can get out in this world and fool around and listen to this and while and go down yonder and that other guy's got a new twist on it. You get over here and the other guy's got a new twist on both of them. And before you know it, you don't know hardly what you believe about this and that. And listen over here, preach, you don't have to have God to preach. I've heard some of the awfulest things in the world. And I've heard people say, if you don't pray, I can't preach. God help. I wonder who's praying for them old prophets when there's a preacher. Well, I'm not sure. I wonder who's praying for them apostles. I'm going to tell you what, if you got the pen, it makes it a lot easier. And boys, God won't leave a man very long when they're not receiving the Word of God. But if God gives me a message to come down here, or all of you spitting at me while I preach, I can preach it if my heart's right. Amen. I said, God, I've lost something. And he said, I know where you lost it. And directed my heart back up the church and back up the house. Got a little old bookcase there about that high I bought from my grandpa's sale. And filled up with books. I went through all of them. Some of them say outdated. And put some more in I thought was good. And I found out now some of them I thought was outdated was right up to date. But God directed my heart. And I got out on my knees. And I just kept going down the line. And God said, stop right there. My hand's on the back of a Bible. It's an old Bible. It's framed. I took it out and laid it open. I realized that is the Bible. When I was called to preach, they gave me a little old Sunday school class. And we'd go down there and I'd preach. I'd call it teaching. But you know, after a while, I mean, if the Holy Ghost of God's on you and you ain't got nowhere to preach, you'll preach the rabbits you have to like I did. And I'd get preaching them youngins, and we'd get hooping and hollering, they wouldn't. And I remember them youngins touching that ceiling with their hands. I'll never forget that. And they about bought me that little old Bible and put my name on it. I thought that was the prettiest thing, but knowing now, it was a cheap little old Bible. But I wouldn't take your farm for it. But I'm going to tell you what, boys, God said, son, turn over to John 3:16. I turned to John 3:16 and I said, Lord, something wrong here. I can't read it. And it seemed like the Holy Ghost said, why? It's all stained. Looked like somebody poured water, just a sprinkle of water all over it. And all of a sudden, I realized that was tears. That when I was back down a young man reading that, I couldn't keep from crying, telling God I wanted to preach on it and tell how Jesus came into the world and saved sinners. Amen. Of whom I'm chief. And God said, son, that's why you don't feel like you did last month and last year. How the tears is gone. God help us to get back again. While we preach us, where we can feel our preacher. And the people know we're preaching out of our hearts and souls. God help us. Amen. Hey, next thing, old Elijah done, he got his people up there and said, what do y'all want? Make up your mind what you want. Said, if you're going to run after every rabbit comes along, go ahead and run. Said, if God's God, you ought to serve him. I want to say to y'all tonight, if we're going to run after everything in the country, everything gets up, we're going to take off after it and believe in it while and pour money into it. That's worse than the U.S. government. I'm going to tell you what we need. Are y'all still with me?
Yeah.
I'd lost you there for a minute. I got you on that giving money while I'm going. I guess tore you up. You thought I was going to take up collections. I want to tell you under God tonight. Boys, we need to get back again to the things that work. Boys, he got the men of God stirred up. And the preacher, so-called. He said, I want to tell you what. He said, and the people, he said, I want to tell you, if God's God, we ought to serve him. And if that man's only honor serving God, we ought to go serve them. Amen. Preachers, we ought to make up our mind which camp we're going to run with. Amen. If we're going to be old timers, we ought to just kick that modernistic liberal stuff off over into hell and quit trying to play both camps. Amen. Amen. God convicted my heart last week over some places I'd been preaching. I went home and told my wife. I preached and I got on the altar and got under conviction myself. Under my own preaching, I told my wife, there's some things and some places I can't go back no more. God said, you'll compromise a little bit when you go in the door and tie up at their hitching post. Amen and amen. And then the old Elijah had a preacher kid. Said, all right, boys, I want you to perform. Said, I'm on it. Let y'all show what y'all got, and then when y'all get done, we'll see whether God's got anything or not. Said, get started. Boys, they began to put on a show. I can see them in our days, you know, doing all kinds of chalk drawings. Hey, y'all might as well stay with me. I'm going to preach what God wants to say. Whether y'all are saying amen or not. Now they got his puppets out, you know, them little old hand fellas, and had them all a-talking. Amen. God help us. Had somebody else to get up and talk a while. Had three or four wives. Amen. I told you I was going to preach what God wanted me to, and then I'll quit. And, boys, they did everything in the world. Finally got to dancing and carrying on. And I suppose some of them said, well, try Lulu Roman, see if she can sing for us and see if that'll work. Amen. Get her to sing one and see if that'll work. God help us. It's a shame and a disgrace. I'm hitting it. I'm trying to hit everything God puts in my mind. It's a shame and a disgrace that we got to sing songs. That we got to sing songs in our church. Our boys at some whore in Nashville wrote and call it a gospel song and just cry and carry on and thank God. And we'll lay down the old songs of Zion. God help us and get back to the songs that is written by men and women that knew what there's a writing about and had cried themselves to sleep with the move of God on their soul to write down what God had given them. Amen and amen. After a while, they got to cutting themselves. Boys, I've seen every kind of shine in the pulpit. I reckon that a man can cut. Doing everything to get people's attention, trying to get them to say he was preaching so he could get an offering. I don't know this fella, and I'm glad I don't, but I know of the fella. He couldn't get no move, and he said, everybody loves your mother. Come down here and stand around. Amen. Called after service over, he called home and said, we've had 347 moves for God tonight. Cutting themselves, and the blood is gushing out. Now, I'm going to tell you, boys, don't pay no attention to fervency. Are you hearing me? That alone's not preaching the Word of God. You say, preacher, what do you think's preaching? Walking back and forth in the sawdust? That's what part of it is for me. But it don't make any difference whether it walks at all or not. You know what I've tried to teach my people? Pay no attention to how high he jumps. Pay no attention to his antics. Boys, it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. That's the only... Boys, you talk about eloquence in the pulpit. Boys, and I point to Hitler and tell you he moved more people to do things than a bunch of preachers ever did then. Amen. But God had no part in it. Are you hearing me? It's the touch, boys. It's the touch of the Holy Ghost in my soul that I know I'm getting food from another country. Hallelujah. That I know in my starving soul there's something coming from the throne of God that's awakening me and making me know that I don't have to starve, that I can eat right off the table of God. I went in down to Brother Sammy Allen the first time I ever went. Somebody passed through there and said, Faith Baptist campground. They said, we never heard of a campground called Faith Baptist. A Baptist, they thought it was a place where you park your campers. And that's right. And they pulled in there and found out what it was. And that is in the 70s. And I never heard nobody preach on things. Ever had. Lord God, we decided they found out about it. And they said, preacher, let's go down and see what they got. And I said, nah, tell me no use in that. I've been to some of the hoodoos around here. I said, there won't be no God down there. But we decided to go. And went. And the folks we went with was afraid to go down Mount Eagle of a night. Mount Eagle of a night. Now, that's how backwoods we were. We got a motel top of Mount Eagle, stayed till it got daylight so we could ride down in the daylight. And went on down, went in. I'll never forget, we went in. There's an old, big, old, gray-headed man preaching. And he was just kind of talking like that, you know, and kind of leaned up on the pulpit. And I'm talking. And I heard somebody say, Big Joe. Yeah. And we moved in and sat down. And my wife said, wonder who it is. And I said, honey, under God, be steep, honey. He's a feeding my soul. Amen. I said, it makes no difference about his antics. Whether he jumps up and down or not, amen, if he does. I like that style. I like for him to get in the shade and hoop and holler and carry on. But it makes no difference. That's not preaching, but the Holy Ghost is.
Yeah.
Elijah said, you boys quite done. But I want all of you to come here. Let's get the altar fixed up. Boys, we need some fixing around the altar. Remember how you and Mama, sir, you remember how you and Mama used to pray in food for the onions? You remember when you didn't know how to raise them? You'd ask God. And my little daughter boy, he's just struggling. He's just trying to get by and raise them young'uns right. And my daughter came home from school and said, Daddy, they said that they're going to fail me. I got to take PE and all I got's a dress. He said, they won't let me wear the dress out on the gym floor and said they're going to fail me. And I said, oh, honey, here we go. And I said, honey, I'll go talk to the principal. She said, Daddy, don't. She said, every one of them daddies that come in, everybody knows about it, and they'll make fun of them. I said, well, I'll just go over his head. I went down in the woods and got to praying. I came back to the house, and there's a car parked in my drive, and some fella there's a deacon in the church close by. And he talked a little while, and he said, I just come down the road and thought of it, and I don't know why I won't stop and tell you this, but I want to stop and tell you. He said, you know the principal over here at high school? And I said, well, I know his name, Mr. Cox, I know him. And he said, you know, I found out he come down from Edmondson County, come out of one of them old-time churches. Said, down there where them church people are, where they believe in dressing right. Said, he come out of one of them places down there where they shout and holler and hoot and carry on. Said, and then some of them old ladies still wear bonnets to church. And I said, thank you, Lord. I'll have to go tell him one of these days. I appreciate him stopping in. But I wrote a letter. I said, dear sir, I honor your position. I went on and wrote, and I gave it to him, and I said, honey, I'm going to let my daughter said, Daddy, let me eat. I said, don't you go and embarrass. You know how young people are in the past, going to school and embarrass them. And they know it's going to be a fuss. Who wrong? She said, Daddy, I'll take it to him. And she told me about it later. I said, sir, I honor your position. I appreciate you trying to help educate our youngins. I said, I'm an old-time preacher, an old-time man of God, jumping the mountain. I've been taught by my forefathers that girls ought to dress like girls and boys ought to dress like boys. I said, I want to send my daughter to school. I want to always look like a girl. I ask you, please, don't force her to dress like a man. Get ungodly, and it's against the word of God. I said, please, sir, if you can find it in your heart, there's a way around it. She went in to see the principal. He knew she was coming. He knew what it was all about. And he growled at her and said, what do you want? She just reached and handed him the letter. He just tore it open, jerked it open, and read it through, and he stopped and read it through again. She said he got up, Daddy. She told me that night. He said he got up and walked over to the pulled the Venetian blinds apart and looked out across Highway 31E. For a long time with that letter in his hand. He said before he turned around, he done one of them numbers and come back and stuck that letter in the desk and said, honey, you go home and tell your daddy as long as you go to school here. You can dress like he tells you to. Yes, nobody ever better say nothing about this. Amen. 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 I said, Lord, pray and ask God to help us. I'm going to tell you, it'd be better than a whole lot of marching. Have God, ask God to come on the scene. Amen. Old Elijah said, I'll fix our altars, Daddy, Mommy. You're still praying around the old altar now. She got a job. You got a job, and she's got a job. My young'un's got a job. All of you's got a car. Maybe I quit praying around the altar. Maybe you ought to come up here tonight and get a good start on the old family altar again. Asking God to help you to raise your youngins. Oh, God, hear us tonight. Help us to come back to revival. It'll never start in the church house till it gets started in our house. Amen. It'll never have to. It won't come through the schoolhouse. It'll come through our house. Oh, God, help us. Elijah said, gather around me. Boys, preachers, we better get our people around us. Oh, great God, old Elijah prayed. I counted again this afternoon to make sure that he wasn't praying one of them long prayers of 63 words. I counted again today that old Elijah prayed. And you know what happened? The power of God fell. I said the power of God fell. Boys, you can get a man of God that's not afraid of anything. Get his people on the mountain. Boys, and get the preachers culled out and get the ones that's right out and get the ones that's right in and wrong out. And boys, get folks to pray and repair altars and we can have revival again. I wonder if you all really want revival. I wonder if you can say, Lord, my churches are dying for lack of revival. Oh, I know some of these churches doing good, you think? I've been fooled into thinking mine's doing good. You know, the number's increasing and everything looks like going good and all my people are well. Nobody in the hospital, nobody got cancer. But I'm afraid that's not a mark of prosperity. Boy, I'd rather have my members to be sick than to have God. Amen. And all be well, no Holy Ghost. Right. Amen. Is your church really prospering? Oh, God, what's it doing when it's prospering? Are you building? Are you adding on? I thank God for that, boys. I appreciate if you can build that on. Amen. But I thought about them $6,000 steeples and missionaries hungry.
Right. Amen.
God help us. Amen. I think about all these fancy additions, and Lord God, I'm not against it. I think we'll have the house of God ought to be number one. Don't think I'm knocking that. But boys, that's not revival. I'm going to tell you what we need to get back on our knees again. Get our altars right and begin to pray for the power and the presence of God in our place. Everybody stand, please. I think I'm done. If God hits me with something else, I'll preach it, but I think I'm done. There ought to be some preachers here tonight. We ought to get on our face and say, God, send revival. Started in me, in my pulpit, in my place. God helped me to get back again, God, to what I used to have. I mean, to the burning. Not that other folks can see and say, boy, he's successful. I want him at my place. Well, there's some daddies in here tonight that need to admit and confess and say it's not like it ought to be in my house. I've lost some things. I know we need to have some mamas tonight that need to find you a place and say, if revival comes, it ought to start in my home and get back again to praying and begging God for him. While we sing, will you come tonight? I tell you, there ought to be dozens of folk moving out, getting in the house.
So sweet and order. And more faith increase.
Young people around your house, in your church.